This is Ozarks at Large. We know the oceans change, and we know climate change is changing the oceans. Later this month, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, NOAA, will sponsor a Teacher at Sea expedition to help monitor and survey the health of the Atlantic Ocean along the northeastern U.S. continental shelf. The 16-day trip will help build a massive data set to compare with past information gleaned from the ocean and to be used by future researchers to further measure change. Among the educators on the trip that begins on the 14th will be Dr. Raghupathy Kannan, a biology and ecology professor at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith. He'll be doing research at the same time that he's interacting with students back on campus. Yesterday, we met with Dr. Kannan in his office on the UAFS campus to learn more about his role in research and how he'll share his experiences with students in real time. He says these science and education sessions are a well-oiled machine.
They've had 800 people go through the program. This year, about 300 applied, and I was one of the 19 to be selected. So I was very thrilled to get this. What it basically entails is they get teachers with a passion for teaching and a passion for field biology on board one of their ships. And they expect the teachers to blog and communicate directly to their classrooms. And that is what I'll be doing.
One of the interesting things here is you're sort of standing on the shoulders of giants, researchers who have done work before you, and what will be observed and noted during your experience hopefully can be used decades from now. It's this sort of string of education.
First of all, the research component is an ecosystem monitoring. We are monitoring everything in the oceanic ecosystem in the northeastern continental shelf from top to bottom, meaning from physical, chemical parameters of the water, like temperature, salinity, oxygen, and then plankton, the drifters, the tiny organisms that drift in the oceans, all the way up to the marine mammals and birds. So we're going to be monitoring, taking data on all these components. At the same time, we will be trying to fire up young minds to get them more involved in marine science and hopefully become, make them become marine biologists of the future, because our planet depends on the future generations as well.
What does it look like when you're doing the monitoring? When you're, are you using, I'm assuming, machinery? Just tell me what that kind of looks like.
Well, for example, we use I'll be in a ship called Gordon Gunter. Gordon Gunter is a state-of-the-art, acoustically quieted vessel, meaning that its engines and motors are designed to be as quiet as possible, to be as unobtrusive as possible, so that marine mammals can be surveyed. We are basically going to be listening to acoustic signatures from the depths and track such animals as humpback whales and North Atlantic right whales. North Atlantic right whales are highly endangered. There are only 400 left in the wild. So one of our objectives in this mission is to track these rare animals and to see how we can help them survive. These whales, for example, they're fully protected, so hunting is no longer a problem. It was a problem at one point, but we also one of the things that's killing them is accidental ship strikes. And so better if we can track their numbers better, if we can track individuals better, we can avoid such accidental collisions. Another thing that's killing them off is getting accidentally trapped in nets, and they drown. They're mammals like us. They need to come up to get a breath of air every once in a while. And if they get caught in nets, they get entangled and they drown. And so by monitoring their whereabouts, we can avoid such accidental intrusions.
Whales, sharks, of course, they grab many of the headlines when we think about maritime animals. You said bottom top, that includes a lot more than whales and sharks, right?
Many of these animals depend on plankton. Plankton are the tiny drifters. Many of them capture sunlight and make fuel. And that's the energetic foundation in which all of sea life depend. Baleen whales, for example, they have to filter in and eat tons of plankton every day just to survive. And so we will be monitoring plankton very carefully. This is a monitoring expedition that not only monitors plankton and whales and sharks, but everything in between as well. We'll be monitoring such things as basking sharks, molas, ocean sunfish, various species of dolphins, and seabirds like puffins. We eradicated puffins from our coasts a century ago. Now they are coming back. We don't want to make the mistake of what we did with the great auk. Great auk was the large penguin-like bird. Because of lack of awareness in marine science, we just clobbered them, literally, to extinction. Great auks are gone. Extinction is forever. We don't have any second chance. Now we have an opportunity to monitor what we have so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. And I'm worried about puffins. Puffins are making a comeback, but climate change is a big issue. And we are worried that the warming of the oceans could be driving a lot of these species to extinction.
You mentioned you'll use sounds. You'll be listening for whales. You can't, this is a layperson's question, but you can't listen for plankton, right?
No, we cannot. That's why we'll be putting up nets called bongo nets. And we'll be we have about 150 randomly chosen stations in the continental shelf. That is between 100 meters and anywhere between 100 and 500 meters. And in these 150-odd random stations, we'll be making a series of measurements. We'll be putting up bongo nets, for example, and sampling from plankton. And the ship also has this incredibly sophisticated system where it sucks seawater and sends it through this column. And then there is this microscope, there's this video microscope that automatically captures images of the plankton as they stream through this column and automatically takes photographs, automatically counts their densities, their biomass, etc. This is really high-tech. It's called Imaging Flow Cytobot. And that's one of the equipment that I hope to be using hands-on and communicate that with my students.
Let's talk about the communication with the students, because you mentioned blogs, I think, and direct video, perhaps. What will you be showing them? How will you be talking to students as you're on the ship?
There are different things I plan to do. One thing is I plan to interview the officers on deck and track their progress. How did they get to where they were? You know, what path did they take? And then I would ask advice directly to my students. What are the things they can do at this level, freshman, sophomore, junior level, so that they can get there? Also, I'll be doing the hands-on techniques and communicating the science behind it to my students. I'll be posting data, photographs, videos of what I'm doing to my students. And above all, I'll be doing personal stuff like, you know, what do we eat? How do we spend our time? The ship, I'll do a video tour of the ship so that they'd get to know the life aboard a busy research ship such as this. And there are student volunteers in the ship from various universities. I hope to interview them also so that my students can be inspired into doing such things as volunteering in a research expedition. That could lead to various career paths. You never know where these little things that they can do one summer can take them.
That's great, because sometimes students don't think they can, especially if you're growing up in the middle of the country. You don't think that maybe that's an option, or even if you do, you don't know how to do it.
Good point. That's one of the things. This opens up ideas. It opens up career paths. And many of our students just think that biology major means becoming a doctor or a nurse, which is fine. Nothing wrong in that. We need them. But there are a lot of things you can do as a biologist. And this whole thing is about getting them exposed to the various options out there and how to get there.
It is about communicating with the students, getting them fired up, as you said. Also, though, science can work for those of us who aren't in biology, who don't know how important plankton is. The work you'll be doing here can have ramifications across the spectrum, not just in education, I would assume, right?
Our survival depends on the health of the planet. So whether you're a biology major or not, you better worry about what's happening out there. A lot of the northeastern communities of people are dependent on fisheries. So we are worried that the ocean's acidity is increasing, ocean's temperatures are increasing. That has direct effect on plankton and therefore on fisheries as well. So a lot of the fish that we depend on for survival, they're declining. And we need to know why and what we can do to mitigate those things. And things like Greenland ice melt, that is diluting the salinity of the water. That is decreasing, it's changing the physics and chemistry of the water. So these ocean circulations are being affected. That means nutrients are not coming up. That means planktons are suffering. So every little thing that humans are doing to the planet has long-term ramifications for us. So if we are worried about our own survival long-term, we'd better keep our ocean ecosystem healthy. And that's what this is all about, education.
Was there something in your young life that spurred you to this interest?
I've always been a biologist, a field biologist, but much of my forays have been in the rainforest and tropics. But I've been stuck in the 30%. 30% of the world is land. Now, this gives me an opportunity to extend beyond the 30% and open the 70%. And hopefully that'll make some marine biologists. I hope to teach a marine biology course after coming here. And that's one good thing about the NOAA program. It opens up opportunities. It opens up funding opportunities so that we can get students involved, do a summer course in the Gulf Coast, that kind of thing.
Dr. Raghupathy Kannan is a biology and ecology professor at the University of Arkansas, Fort Smith. He's part of a NOAA-sponsored research project that will monitor the health of the ocean on the northeastern U.S. continental shelf later this month. He'll also share his work and experiences with students. We met with him in his office on the UAFS campus yesterday morning. He says he'll talk to us again when he returns from the trip.